to Education, Leadership, and Beyond, Surviving and Thriving. My name is Ian Mata, host of the show, and it is show number 250. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our live audience here on Facebook. Proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Said Radio Cat, wherever you are taking in your podcasts. Good morning and happy Father's Day. It's show number 250. I'm thrilled. I'm so excited. I was thinking about, you know, how I do for 250. How do I celebrate show number 250? And here we are. It just happened to land on Father's Day. I was grateful to meet Mark Erlenwine from Staten Island on show 249 this week. And then I was like, wow, it's Father's Day. It's Sunday. Got my coffee here. So what timing, and again, just thrilled to be doing show number 250. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers out there, our father figures, those that are male role models in students' lives, people's lives, all those folks. I have so many circles, and so many shout outs of people who have been fathers to me, you know, starting in my own family, my dad, Mr. Grimes, my father-in-law, you know, my brothers, my brother-in-law, just so many people there in my family circle that have been great mentors and role models, my uncles, my older cousins, tremendous, right? And then I'm so blessed to be in Port Jervis almost 20 years. So many male father figures there in my role. The people hired me way back when, my superintendents, different principals, different leaders and teachers I've worked with that are tremendous role models. And again, while not my father figures, right? Through my time refereeing, there's been so many friends and leaders that I've admired, have given me great advice. So just grateful to have all of those father figures and, you know, people in my life that have helped shape me and the work I'm doing here. So grateful. All right, let's get started. This is going to be a shorter show. It's just me. It's just Father's Day. And I do want to certainly celebrate my latest book here, written with my colleagues, Larry Day, Jeff Evner, and Kevin Spienauer, Dads, Leaders, and Father Figures. It is out. It's on Amazon. You can check out our website, dadsleadersandfatherfigures.com. And Audible should be ready any day. I was hoping it would be ready by today. It's not, but it is coming on Audible. And we read it. Kevin did it from North Carolina. Jared and myself, shout out to Steve Berner, voiceovers in Fishkill, New York. We read it there. So it should be coming on Audible any moment. So I will start with my dad here on the show. So many stories about my dad in the book here. Lessons, things that I've learned from him over the years. We lost him way back in 08, incredibly. And if you know me and my story with my dad, we lost him after the New York City Marathon. It was our third one together. Dad, I love you and I miss you. And you know, the lessons, the stories, the things you did over the years, so grateful. If you are watching live, jump in, say hello, say good morning. And again, happy Father's Day. So I will start with one story, and it's here in the book. And in the book, it's called The Wall. So I'm probably in high school. I think I'm in high school. And we had a Belgian block wall in front of our house. These were stones, again, from ships coming over from Europe, from Belgium, where they helped balance the ships with the weight that were transporting goods back and forth, transporting people back and forth. And they were the stones that they used. So whatever direction they were going, but we landed with them at our home. It was a beautiful stone wall and it fell down, the weight behind it. There was a lot of soil. There was a lot of land and the thing fell. So it sat there for, you know, a couple of weeks. And finally my dad said, Andrew, do you want to rebuild the wall? I'm like, Dad, I don't know how to do it. He said, we'll figure it out. This is before Google. This is before cell phones. You could just look it up, watch on YouTube. He says, we'll figure it out. We talked to people at the hardware stores. We talked to different contractors that gave us advice about gravel and supporting the stone and supporting the rock, things like that. And we went and bought all the stuff. and we read the directions. And while my dad wasn't very handy, he sat with me. He was there with me, helped drive me and get me the stuff, and paid for all the stuff. And he paid me, right? He wanted me to learn while, you know, working. So instead of working for somebody else, him, and built that wall. We built it stone by stone, cement, and we put it back up. And it is up today, 2023. So this is 20 plus years. A lot of drainage, a lot of gravel behind it. It was great. If you are watching live, jump in, say hello, say good morning. I'd love to hear from you. So the lesson I learned in that story with my dad called The Wall, and again, it is here in the book. He didn't have to be an expert in wall building, cement, stonery, masonry. He didn't, but he was just there with me. He was patient. If we made a mistake, it was okay. And I was grateful for that. The second part of that story, some years later, I'm married now to Jen Grimes, Jen Murata, and her beautiful family, Mr. and Mrs. Grimes, and Susan and Kelly and Ronnie. And my father-in-law, my father was an expert, craftsman, I would say. He could build anything. We had actually had hats. We could build anything. And we replaced the front porch, and Eugene and I did that together, and we tore down the old thing and put up this huge front porch that spanned across the front of the house. It was tremendous. It was a tremendous experience. And Mr. Grimes led the way, ordered the materials, ordered everything, measured everything, led everything. And so different than the part with my dad with the wall, where he didn't really know what he was doing, but kind of guided me along the way. Mr. Grimes, an expert, and I got to work with an expert and learn how to cut things, how to do things in the right way. And when they went, when they didn't fit, when the house was twisted or whatever, we figured it out. He was tremendous. That was a great experience. So the wall and the porch were tremendous experiences for me, and got to do each one of them separately with my dads. I consider Mr. Grimes a father now to me, and it was tremendous. Grateful for that. And again, I share those stories in here. Another story I wanted to share from the book today was called 1 Mile Till Empty. I live in Milford, Pennsylvania. It's a beautiful little town here, right on the border of New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And it's a wonderful spot. So gas station, this gas is more expensive. This one's less expensive. And this was back before I had an electric car. I did take the leap and bought an electric car. So I guess, just trying to go to the gas station that didn't, wasn't more expensive. The one near our house is near the highway, and it's always more expensive. So I guess I'm always saying, well, I can make it to this gas station and make it here. So on this particular day, I was running some errands. I didn't really realize how many miles I had left, but there was only 2 or 3 miles left before empty. I could say good morning, Matthew. It was only 2 or 3 miles before empty. Here's my son, Matthew, here on Father's Day. Just wave hello, Matthew. He's going to keep moving. And we're coming down the hill, and the thing is saying 2 miles, 1 mile, and then it goes to zero. The thing is blinking, saying, get gas. And my two daughters were in the car, Claire, who's 16 now. This is probably 2 years ago. So they were, I guess 14, and they were petrified. Dad, what's going to happen? Dad, oh my God, how could you let this happen? They were screaming and yelling. And we literally coasted into the gas station. We did make it. They were so upset. They were so mad. You're kind of calling it careless, and nothing happened and we were okay. But something could have happened, right? What if the gas station was closed? What if we were on a different road? What if there's so many what ifs? And, they were just like, Dad, how could you do that? Then when we got home, right to my wife, Mom, this is what Dad did. oh my God, you know, complaining, but I could see and hear the anxiety, the fear that they had. Someone reflecting on that story, control the controllables, right? Control the controllables. I could have gotten gas early. I should have made sure. What's the lesson we learned when we first became a driver? Don't ever let it go below a quarter of a tank. And that was a lesson, again, reminded. Here I'm in my 40s now, and I still made that dumb mistake because you want to get to the gas 10, 15 cents cheap. This is when gas was up in the, who knows how much it was, but it wasn't $2 anymore. It wasn't $1.50. I remember the days when it was 89 cents, you know. So control the controllables. I could have gotten gas and made sure that it was in there so I didn't cause that stress orders. And we didn't have an emergency, but we could have. So 1 mile till empty, that story. Another one I wanted to share. I used to referee almost 20 years and grateful to have written Tales from the Hardwood. And this is a story that is from basketball, but I also included it in the dad's book. And it's called I'm Not Reffing on Saturday. And those that know anything about refereeing, you know, if you're not working on Saturday, I don't know what you're doing, but there's games on Saturdays. That's when they play the games. Everybody's reffing on Saturday. All college teams are playing. And, you know, if you're not working on a Saturday, you're not, you know, doing so hot. So one of my good friends, a really good referee, you know, hey, where are you at this Saturday? He says, oh, I'm not reffing. What do you mean you're not reffing? You know, you're always reffing on a Saturday. He says, no, I'm taking my dad to a game. It was late in college football season, but early in the basketball season, and college football was still playing. He says, I'm taking my dad to the game. I'm like, really? You go a college football game with your dad during basketball season? Like, why didn't you go at another time? He's like, this is the game we had. This is the tickets, you know. And he went on to tell me that his father always took him to a college basketball game every year, a college football game every year. And now that he's older and his father's a little older, right, as adults, he takes his father to a football game every year. And this was the date they played. Out refereeing, and they were going to that football game. And I was like, wow, I love that. Came home, told my wife, said, hey, I want to take my son to a game each year, my son Matthew. And we have. We've started going to different games each year. We've gone to West Virginia. We have gone to Maryland. We have gone to Michigan, a different place, different location each year. And additionally, right, taking my daughters somewhere, just them, each year, based on that. So the story is, I'm not reffing this Saturday, is to make those important times, schedule those important times. Because when you look back, you won't remember the cost. You won't remember, oh, this, that. You'll remember that you had this great experience with that loved one of yours. And I'm fortunate that I got to go on all those trips with Matthew, and I'm excited to say, hey, where are we going this year, right? We're going to pick a spot this fall. So I'm not reffing this Saturday. Couple more stories, and then we'll send you on your day. The next one is called What's Your Logo, right? Not everybody has a logo. I didn't have a logo years ago, and here it is in the upper right-hand corner right there. Yeah. But my surviving and thriving logo, right? My AM, Adrian Morata, with extra excellence, effort, enthusiasm, and energy in that logo. Those are things I try to stand for, I try to represent, and I created that, right, when I started the speaking and the books, and certainly now my speaking engagements, those things. And I'm very proud of it. I put a lot of time and thought and effort into it, and I try to live those points on the logo. That being the part in the book, what is it as an adult? What is it as a father? What is it as a family that you are trying to represent? And what would be in that logo? A great exercise that you could do is to kind of sit with your family, sit with your wife, talk about those things, and figure that out, right? What would that be? And I'll share here on the show, right? So proud of that logo. I actually got it in a tattoo here, not energy excellence. Sorry, I got to go that way. All those things, but I got my kids' names right on the outside here, and you know, thrilled to have that. Thrilled to have kind of This is where I am in my life, doing, you know, the work of the surviving and thriving, but really focused on my family. So my kids' names are on there, Claire, Matthew, and Tessa, and certainly my wife, Jen. So grateful for that. And but think about that. That's a family exercise. Can you create a seal, a crest, or a logo for your family? It's quite an experience, and I recommend it. So, all right. One more story. I love it. I got this from Dan Spanauer and the Coaching and Leadership Journal. Google that. Dan's a great guy and he's a great friend. And the story is called The Fisherman and the Businessman, or The Businessman. The Fisherman and the Businessman. Here it is. A stressed out American businessman's doctor strongly suggested he take a vacation. Heeding the doctor's advice, he decided to go far away and went to a small coastal village in Portugal. Unable to sleep after an urgent phone call from the office first thing in the morning, he walked out on the pier to clear his head. A small boat with just one fisherman had docked, and inside the boat were several large fin tuna. The American complimented the fisherman on the quality of his fish. "How long did it take you to catch them?" the American asked. "Only a little while," the fisherman replied in surprisingly good English. "Why don't you stay out longer and catch more fish?" the American asked. He said, "I have enough to support my family and give a few to friends," the fisherman said as he unloaded them into the basket. "But what do you do with the rest of your time?" The Portuguese man looked up and smiled. "I sleep late, fish a little, play my guitar, take a siesta with my wife, stroll into the village each evening where I sip wine and play guitar with my friends. I have a full and busy life." The American laughed and stood tall and said, "Sir, I have an MBA from Harvard and I can help you. You should spend more time fishing. With the proceeds, buy a bigger boat, and in no time you could buy several boats with increased haul. Eventually you'd have a fleet of fishing boats." He continued, "Instead of selling your catch to the middleman, you could sell directly to the consumers, eventually opening your own cannery. You would control the product, the processing, the distribution. You could leave this small fishing village, move to a bigger city. I could get you to Los Angeles and eventually to New York. Once there, you could run your expanded enterprise with amazing management." The fisherman said, "But sir, how long will this take?" To the American replied, 15 to 20 to 25 years tops. "But then what, sir?" The American laughed out loud and said, "That's the best part. When the time is right, you can announce an IPO and sell your company to the public and become very rich. You would make millions." "Millions?" the fisherman asked. "Then what?" He said, "Then you could retire, move to a small coastal fishing village where you could sleep late, fish a little, visit with your kids, take a siesta with your wife, stroll into the village in the evenings where you could sip wine and play guitar with your friends." The moral of the story, so many, right? So many. Find the joy in the work you're doing now. Find the time. Make the time for the important things in your life. It doesn't always have to be bigger and better. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. You don't have to play keeping up with the Joneses. You got to invest in your family, your health, your time. Be present where your feet are. So I share that story, The Fisherman and the Businessman. I hope you enjoyed it. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Again, one more shout out. It's on Amazon. It's on Audible. If you want a personalized copy from either me, Larry, Jeff, or Kevin Spanauer, reach out through any of our channels there. I'd be happy to get you a personalized copy. I'll leave you with this last piece of advice. This is my shirt here from the Muhammad Ali Museum. I wear it often. It says, "Be great and do great things." Whether you are a father figure, a leader in your work, or a father yourself, you don't need any of that to be great and do great things. So keep surviving and thriving, friends. If I could help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at Andrew Murata 21 on Twitter. It is an honor to be with you here on show number 250. I'm grateful to have gotten to 250, and I wish you the best on your journey. I do want to give a shout out again to my brother, Paul. My father-in-law, Eugene Grimes, blessed to have dinner with him tonight. My brother-in-law, Ronnie, and all my good friends, right? Your dad's out there doing great jobs with your families. My cousins, my uncles, the great men that have helped me along the way. Have a great day, everybody. Keep surviving and thriving. If I can help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out. Keep rolling, friends. Keep surviving and thriving. Oh, I ended that music a little early. Have a great day.